Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages. Welcome to the F4L Headquarters Podcast. I am your host, with the most, the F4L icon himself, the leader of the F4L, Sean Jazz Stevens. I hope you guys are doing great. I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend, whatever it was that you did. And I'm also hoping that whatever you guys are doing, so far you're making the most of this week as well. And remember, every day you should live it epically as possible. First and foremost, before I get to the Monster Mania Con 52 recap full, I want to first wish a happy belated birthday to my son who turned 20 on Saturday while I was away. He turned 20, making me feel even older than I am. He had a great birthday, and I want to thank everyone at Monster Mania for making, well, I can't tell him yet what the surprise is because I actually haven't seen him because he's been working and so forth since I've been home. But I want to thank everyone at Monster Mania for making his birthday special. And everyone did their own little way of making him, making it special for him. And he will be there with me along with my wife in March when we return from Monster Mania 53. Can you believe that? Anyway, so happy birthday to him. He had a great day, I'm told. And I did talk to him. He had a great day. And he thanks everyone for their birthday wishes and for being so awesome. Also, a happy belated birthday to my mother, whose birthday would have been yesterday. Also was her brother Paul, my Uncle Paul, her twin. As he is still alive and well, probably still has my mother watching over him like she watches all of us. And if anyone's wondering how it got so cool on Monday and why the sun was out, well, that's because my mother was too busy partying it up on Mondays. So, and it's celebrating her own birthday. So happy birthday to her and Uncle Paul and my son, who all had birthdays on the weekend, and everyone else in between. So anywho, that's the first and foremost thing. I also want to send a congratulations off the top to JoJo the bodybuilder and Philip Ricardo Jr., who down there in Las Vegas, Nevada, they showed up and they owned the stage. I'm told that Phil had to show everyone else and had to have everyone else elevate themselves to try to compete with him. He looked amazing. I got to tell you guys, I saw the footage from the show. I saw the routines. Philip Ricardo Jr. made everyone work harder than they probably ever had before. So congratulations to him on a successful career. And congratulations to JoJo the bodybuilder who showed up and won Best Improved. Congratulations to him. But it's not like here on this show we ever had any doubt whatsoever. If you guys remember last time we were on the show doing the watch along, they had told us about this event. Well, they came, they saw, they conquered like true F4L, and officially they are F4L family now as well. Also, want to say a special thank you to Jack and Tim, our friends, the lucky ones. Well, you know, folks, I'm not used to winning things, and I'm not used to, partaking in contests and so forth. But clearly, I have no problem talking about people well and spreading the word on people who do awesome things. And for the fact that I am always constantly talking about how awesome Jack and Tim are, our friends over there across the pond who rock out, and former Britain's Got Talent Golden Buzzer winners, who are still wreaking havoc on our wrestling show and still rocking out in music. Well, apparently I had won there, some type of contest where I'm going to be getting a CD and a picture book. And they even shouted it out, and I want to say thank you to them for the birthday wishes for my son as well. And it's always good to hear from Jack and Tim, and they look fantastic. We just updated their cause, actually, so look even more impressive. And if you guys missed it yesterday, the 14th, they competed in the Team Warfare match. So there's that too on our Icons of the F4L. More about that at the end of the show. But a thank you to Jack and Tim for your kindness. And I can't wait to listen to the music and all that fun stuff. And I'll be sure to post that again and thank you guys again when it gets here. Anywho, so now I've done the acknowledgments. And again, I wanted to say, you know, we really have to appreciate everyone who we have had on the show in the past, in future, and present. And I'm glad that people can see that my words of encouragement, and I always try to encourage others to go after their goals and their dreams. Some might not get that a lot. Some people might think that it's ridiculous, or some people might think it's a waste of time, but that, to me, it's not. To me, I believe that good people do amazing things, and there are a lot of people out there in the world who do amazing things who people might not miss, and might not hear about every day. Well, on this show, we like to elevate those people. We like to highlight those people, and we like to celebrate those people. So, again, congratulations to everyone who is F4L, and Phil and JoJo and everyone in between that. Amazing people, and I'm proud of everyone who's been on this show, and a quick thank you to everyone who's been on the show. And to everyone else out there, I look forward to having everyone part of this show. So without any further ado, I have given the props and the praises, and believe me, they are heartfelt, and I believe in all of you guys. And I am appreciative of all of you guys just as much as you appreciate what I have done. So let's talk about Man 52, because this is a lot to get through, and there's a lot. I have about 2 hours, and a lot of people might be thinking, can you actually spend 2 hours talking about Monster Mania 52. Well, to be honest with you, I don't know if 2 hours is long enough to talk about a weekend that was absolutely phenomenal. Of course, there's downs, but for the end of the story at the end of the day was it was an amazing event, monumental. Again, the Hagans have delivered, and I'm proud and proud to be part of that movement. First and foremost, I want to give some shout-outs to some of my friends over there at Monster Mania who are part of my fellow Monster Mania staff and crew, who some people may not know on a regular basis, but I think they deserve just as much recognition as anyone else. They have become close. Monster Mania people are like family to me. I've known them for most of these people most of my time going down there. They always make me feel welcome. They are always fantastic humans. They are fantastic people, and I'm proud of all of them. I'm happy to be part of, you know, they include me in everything. You know, from Jen to Darrell to Doug to Dave to David to Stacy to Alex to Liz to Pete to Ashley to Jean and everyone in between. If I missed you, don't worry about it because I'm sure it's only a matter of time till I have you guys here on the show to celebrate with me. I'm talking, of course, about the staff people who make Monster Mania, my fellow friends, my family who make this possible. And they are absolutely amazing human beings. And I'm proud to associate myself with those people. So I am just going through, yeah. So let's first shout out everyone else in between here. Let's go with Cherry Knight, David, Donna Jean, Howard, JC, Sabrina, Mary, Susan, Marie, Eric. And let me tell you about Eric, man. Eric has been part of the Monster Mania staff forever. It's always a joy to see him, and if I ever have a question about something, he's always right there. He's one of the most down-to-earth and level-headed people that they have. Everyone is just a phenomenal human being, and Eric just is one of those kind of, you know, past first meets present, and he's a joy to be around, as well as Jeff, Rose, Mark, Liz, who, you know, a lot of people think I'm great with names, and I think the ongoing story is none of us are really great with names, and I'm one of those people who I'm good with faces more so than names, but I don't think that you guys are any less important than anyone else. Barry, Peter, Ashley, Nida, Carrie, Frank's a good guy too. He's always willing to come down and say hello, and he's a nice guy as well. Jen, again, Jen, who was nice enough to help me out and take the photo with me, and has a Lincoln camp. She's a phenomenal human being. I mean, Darrell again, Andy, and yeah, this is, a lot of people make up the team, and I'm proud to be associated with all of them. Jen, who is the coordinator of the staff, does a phenomenal job. I frankly don't know how she does a lot what she does. I know she is a very busy woman. She always takes that time regardless to say hello, to make sure everyone's okay. And, you know, it's there. Her commitment level is there. And her, she's just a great leader among all of us. She's a great person to bat things off of, and she's always inclusive to everything. And of course, Dave and the Hagans go without question. They have been longtime friends of mine. And as of this weekend, they are officially part of the F4L family as well. Long overdue, in my opinion. And Dave and his sons are just as much part of my family as my own family. We've all, suffered together. We've cried together. We've rejoiced together. And Monster Mania is that place where everyone, no matter where you are, where you come from, we all rejoice together. And it's a great team to be part of. It's going to be interesting because, Dave has allowed me to make the Monster Mania Arena for Dream Masters and for the Icons and for Jazz and Souls Dream Masters and whatnot, Dream Matches. Icons of the F4L now, and I'm very excited to announce that we have signed two new signees as on our next show that will take place after the break of the Team Warfare Tournament. That means December 4th, ladies and gentlemen. I am very excited to announce that we have a new tag team that will be making their debut at the Monster Mania show on December 4th. That tag team is Doug and David, the Hagan Boys. That's right, folks. Dave's sons, Doug and David, will be stepping in the ring and competing on the Monster Mania show going forward. And that's a pretty big thing. Doug might not be there, but Big Baby Jeebus will. And David will be there as part of that, and it's going to be exciting to have them there. Right now, I'm kind of working on who their opponents are going to be, and I might actually turn that over to the Monster Mania people to see who they think their opponents should be, or should they face each other one-on-one. We'll have to wait and find out. We might even have to ask Big Dave himself who he thinks his sons should face in their debut match. Anywho, they did a great job. And one of the things I have to say, and I have to be honest with you guys, I am a person who's very protective of my friends, my family, and that goes without question. When people start bad-mouthing my friends or my family, I become very defensive and will go to bat for my friends all day. I'm a very nice person, don't get me wrong. I don't look for problems. But when it comes to someone who talks trash about my friends or my family in a negative light, I am going to go tooth and nail with those. And it took every ounce and fiber in my body when at one point someone has said something very derogatory about the Hagans. I got to tell you, I dealt with it in a very professional manner, but I got to tell you, it took every ounce and fiber in my body not to say something that probably would have gotten the situation much worse. So I'm glad that I practiced my willpower and took my breaths. But I got to tell you, that doesn't make me feel good when people talk in trash about my friends and my family. And especially since the thing that they were complaining about is the fact that we gave them more than they should have had. It's one thing to complain about something like, you know, something not done right or something, or, you know, something poorly made or something you got charged right. But to complain about giving more people an opportunity and to complain about something that you've already done yourself is absolutely ridiculous to me. I had a person complain about the fact that we sold too many VIP passes, when in reality, we didn't sell too many VIP passes. It was a giant building. It was a convention hall, which people wanted, versus the hotel stores that normally does. And let me tell you about the difference between a hotel show in a convention hall. Most people are probably familiar with Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, Rhode Island Comic-Con, in San Diego Comic-Con, Boston Comic-Con, whatever. Comic-Con is in usually a convention hall, and it's a giant venue versus, you know, and it's large open spaces, and it's very, very industrial, in my opinion. And people for years have said this is the kind of show they want for WrestleMania. It's a big open space. You know, it's too big for the hotels, blah, blah, blah. And then when we give them that, these same people complain that there's now too much space. And now, you know, we sell the same amount of tickets, and we give people even more opportunities to take part in more things, and they still complain. And I just don't understand how people can rationalize being grateful and at the same time spitting on the people who give them what they want. That doesn't make sense to me. But anywho, that's me. And that's pretty much the only issue I saw. It is a very large building. It was a convention hall, as I mentioned, versus the hotel shows that they usually do in Cherry Hill and in Hunt Valley, which they are most known. This is the second year in Oak, Pennsylvania, a very small area outside of Philly. It's a good-sized building. It's kind of set off from everything else. It's easily walkable from the hotels and everything else. I discovered a new restaurant called Cheeseburger Cheeseburger. And, yes, they do sell burgers there, in case you were wondering, which I would hope. And then some. And it was a great little place. It was definitely accessible by train, bus, and whatnot. I myself took the train down there, left early in the morning on Thursday. I got down there Thursday early, and I want to thank Darrell and Jen for orchestrating me up at the train station, not knowing where I was going. And people, they have been very helpful in making me feel welcome in the hometown of Philadelphia. Now, for the record, when I worked for ECW years ago, I had to go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, down at the old ECW arena. That was twice a year I had to be there. That was part of my contract. And I hadn't been down to that way in forever. And this little place was nowhere near where that was. But it was still nice to see more of the area and to learn about a new venue. And again, it is different having, you know, the hotel in one place and the venue in another. And I think one of the first things I noticed right away is the difference of the personal and individual kind of experience that we're infected by this. I think that when you have a big open space like this, where you can have more, you know, room for vendors and whatnot, there's sacrifices that you get on that. Like, for example, you know, having the celebrities, you know, when you're at a hotel, the hotel shows are smaller. Everything's contained within the hotel. Your rooms are in the hotel. The celebrities are in the hotel that you're in, and the convention goes on there. So what makes it special is just, you know, you'll be sitting in the hotel lobby, and the next thing you know, in between whatever, you'll see someone walking through. Now, I'm obviously not encouraging you to pester the guests or celebrities while they're walking through the lobbies. I'm not saying that. It's just those rare moments that you would normally get in those very small establishments, those one-on-ones that you normally wouldn't get at a convention hall. Just seems very robotic and very industrial. And I think the Hagans, for a long time, in talking with them, either both the one time Dave was on this show and in the past, is that when they come on, when these shows, you know, one of the things they were hesitant about is because of, they want those personal interactions and they look forward to those themselves, the Hagans do and everybody else. And they want a more, you know, personal family feel to their shows. And these conventions are just industrial feeling. It feels robotic. It feels like a building and it feels like it's, you know, no different than anything else. And did the Hagans, you know, perform? Heck yeah. Did the Monster Mania people deliver? Oh, yes, we did. And did the celebrities show up and have a great time? Of course. And the vendors? Absolutely. In fact, this might have been the most vendors I've seen at a Monster Mania event in my years of knowing Monster Mania. There was all kinds of vendors, including some tattoo people who were there and doing live tattoos while there. I didn't really get a chance to see a lot. Now, for the record, I was, you know, up front being a greeter and making sure everyone was, you know, healthy and knew where they were going. And so most likely if you were there in, sure, if you were there in Oak, Pennsylvania, came through the doors, since there's one way in and one way out, you most likely did see me first in the mornings anyway. And hopefully I made you guys feel welcome as much as, you know, I tried. Now, some people, again, I could feed on energy of people. And when I see people who are, you know, kind of being ornery and trying to push the system and trying to, you know, be that person who wants to offer their 10 cents onto how everything runs, yet they are getting what they want, I just choose to encourage the positive interactions and I, you know, focus on those and, of course, do my job effectively. And we did that. I think we did fairly well. I think one of the things I would have changed differently, if anything at all, we allowed people who were VIP to pick up their tickets earlier on Friday, and I think that might have been a mistake. I think it would probably be better if we're going to allow people to pick up their tickets ahead of time before the event. It would probably make sense to push that time closer to the time the show is going to open. And the reason why is because of issues like we had where people showed up early to pick up their pre-show tickets and expected to wait in the building until the show began on Friday. And to be fair, the show opened at 5, and for pre-show opened at 4 p.m. People were allowed to pick up their badges at 12 noon. So the issue was people would get their passes or whatever, they pick up their badges and they get their bracelets or whatever and their tickets to get in. They would redeem their vouchers and they'd get their tickets or whatever and they get their packages. Then they would have to go outside and wait until 4 p.m. when they were allowed to go in. VIPs obviously get to go in first, and then the pre-show people who pay to go in prior than everybody else, about an hour beforehand. And that is something that I also do. And then they had the regular general admission. Now, the biggest thing this weekend, the biggest draw, if you would, and the person everyone wanted to meet was, of course, Robert Englund himself, Freddy Krueger. Now, I get that. I've met Robert Englund several times. He's a good friend of mine. And I'd like to say that if you're going to meet someone, I think that he is the person, if you have the opportunity to meet, do Robert Englund. He is the person who takes that time with you. And he is the person who will make you feel like, you know, you're the only person there. But in fact, you have 100,000 people right behind you staring daggers at you. I get that feeling too. I was that person at one point until, you know, I learned, you know, you got to, you know, take your, you know, pick your poison, so to speak. But he was someone who people wanted to meet and they knew it was going to be a busy thing because he's a very popular man. He's very, like you said, he's one of the most best people you could meet is Robert Englund. Outside of the Freddy Krueger thing, just as a human being, he's a joy to talk to. He treats you like you're the only person there, which is a rare thing at one of these events. And it's hard to really describe what it's like to meet some of these people in person versus, you know, what you see on TV or what you've heard. And as I've said on the show before, you can never really take someone from what you've heard from someone else's experience. because most likely you'll have your own experience at these events, and it'll be something completely different for yourself. So let's talk about some of these things. Some of the other people, who I had a chance to say thank you to and to congratulate and whatnot. I got to say, one of the things I like to do is, you know, say that I'm a man of my word, and I did live up to that this weekend, except for one thing I am a little regretful for. Because there was so many vendors, and as you guys know, I'm a big supporter of the smaller vendors and stuff like that, the people that not everyone gets a chance to see. On this show, I've had the guys from Coffee on. They were supposed to be in Oak, Pennsylvania, and apparently they were. Unfortunately, there were so many areas that I unfortunately didn't get to see my friends at Dead Sled Coffee. However, I did meet the guys from Deadly Grounds, and I got to see our old friends from Brutalities also at the event. And I have to tell you guys that I am very thankful at the fact that the guys from Brutalities were there. I mean, Deadly Grounds were there, because honestly, at one point I was so tired. They had samples there at Dead Sled, not Dead Sled, Deadly Grounds. And they did, I don't know how these people do this, but Deadly Grounds had, you know, a couple coffee flavors up there. And I went down there and they little shot glasses for samples. And I got to tell you, on Friday afternoon, I was hurting the unit. And when I went to buy Deadly Grounds, they had those samples. And I kid you not, no sooner did I take one sip of one of their amazing coffees, I automatically got the Popeye, the Salem, and the spinach effect. And it was almost like I could run a marathon after that. And honestly, it carried me through on both Friday, Saturday, and then again on Sunday. So big thank you to Deadly Grounds for being there to help my caffeine and help me get through at one point. Because, you know, sometimes what people might not understand is, as much as I love to be energetic and I am full of energy, at some point, you know, standing in one area the whole day, and no matter how many people are there, sometimes once in a while I will start to get run down. On Friday it rained all day. And those people who don't know or are new to the show know I have a knee injury. I had a knee injury, and when it rains out, my body feels it. All of my years of wrestling and martial arts and sports come back to haunt me. And, you know, thankfully, once I got to the Deadly Grounds people, they were able to get that caffeine shot in me. And boy, did that save me. So I highly recommend, if you guys are ever feeling tired or whatever, go see some of these people. That was my magic wand this weekend. Thank you to Deadly Grounds for helping me this weekend. And me get through some of those times where I don't know how I would have gotten through, as at one point I was really exhausted. And my body was aching on Friday because of the rain and there's the temperature drop. And then apparently winter decided to show up also this weekend. Now, for the record, I actually enjoy cold weather. I enjoy the cold, but I need to be, I like to be ready for it. And because of the moisture in the air, my body was in pain this weekend. But I did my best to kind of just go through and keep the smile on my face. I used the excitement from the fans who came in. We have amazing fans at Monster Mania. They are amazing people. Them themselves are just like family to the rest of us, you know, on staff and stuff. And everyone is just one big thing. And both friends and fans of the show just come together. That's one of the things that makes Monster Mania special, is just the unofficial family reunion feel. And, you know, this show is so many things, so many people. And, you know, later on in this show, I'm going to be reading you guys a poem that I wrote on Saturday night. And it's a rough draft, and it's the first time I'm reading it in public, and even the people at Monster Mania didn't even get a chance to read it. They definitely heard me, you know, saw me writing it. You know, we have so many personalities who work for Monster Mania behind the scenes to make sure the show runs smoothly. People who've been doing this, who dedicate their time and their efforts to making sure the fans and the celebrities and everyone enjoys themselves. And they're truly an amazing group. I mentioned some of their names earlier. Eric and Hugh, who I was lucky enough to share a room with. they're phenomenal people, and I'm grateful to share the room with two amazing people who I've seen at almost all these shows, but never really, you know, we get to know each other on more on the basis at these events, you know, and all these other people who just, you know, are amazing. Donna Jean is probably one of the most genuine human beings, one of the most, you know, kindest and sweetest people you could have. For those people who don't know, Donna Jean, who is a member of the staff, yes, and, you know, she's been around. If you guys don't know, who are new to this show, I recently even found out recently that she has her own podcast. And, like, you know what? What an amazing woman she is. She's a sweetest lady you'll ever meet. I remember specifically on Friday, because remember, I was in front, so anyone who was coming into the building came through me first. Donna Jean literally drove up to the building, got out of her car, doors wide open. Of course, the show wasn't open yet. She drove up to the venue, was so excited to see us and see her regular Monster Mania fans. She got out of the car, left it in the middle of the parking lot, middle of the road, got out, doors open, came up, gave everyone a big hug, and got back in the car to park. And she was just so sweet. And she has a podcast, and I'm going to give you the name of that podcast so you guys can check her out as well. Because, you know, if I can do anything to help someone else out. And by the way, we are working on bringing her on this show so she can come on and talk about, you know, Monster Mania, what it means to her specifically, and what it's like to be on staff and all the amazing things. Like me, she likes to spread positivity, and she likes to give people, you know, something different to look rather than everyone's woes and me's in the world. And she's amazing. And she does, like myself, she does interviews with people, various different people from celebrities to other people. And she's just a joy, like I said, just a joy to talk to and be around. She's got a magnetic personality, and she's just phenomenal. She's just one of those people who are just genuine, and you can see that. The name of her podcast is Donna Jean's Coffee House of Horror, and it's just amazing. I know that I'm going to be checking it out, and I listened to one of the episodes today, and she's just a very nice woman, very respectful, and just so nice, and I can't say enough about her, and we look forward to having her on the show. And that's just one of the many colorful personalities we have behind the scenes who makes sure the show runs smoothly, both for the staff and the crew and the stars who come. And I know a lot of people wanted to talk about the stars who were there, and, you know, yeah, they showed up. And, you know, it's always fun to see people you've seen, you know, several times. I like to say it's nice to see old friends and meet some new ones. And, you know, Tyler Mayne, for example, one of the nicest big men you'll ever meet. He's my fellow wrestling brother from, you know, you guys don't know Tyler Mayne, who was, you know, probably most famous in the horror community for playing Rob Zombie's Michael Myers, or for the X-Men franchise, he was Sabretooth. But Tyler Mayne was also a very accomplished pro wrestler for WCW. A lot of people don't know that. And over the weekend, I was able to connect with Tyler because between COVID and just our schedules, we've missed each other on several different shows. Well, I made a point to go over and say hello to Tyler, and it was great to see him again. And, you know, I'm 6 feet tall, and to most people, I'm pretty big for an average person. But 6 feet tall in wrestling is actually just a very average human. And wrestlers most of the time are gigantic humans. And Tyler is one of those people who remind me that I am a dwarf and a giant. I am a wrestler in a large man's world. And Tyler is 6'9", I believe, and he is every inch taller than me. The pictures you see, it looks like I'm sitting down or he's standing on a box. No, legit, Tyler Mann is just standing next to me. And my 6 foot frame is overshadowed by his 6'9". He is significantly taller, and he's one of the nicest human beings you will meet. And he was right next to Danielle Harris, the horror girl herself. And Danielle Harris, I recently found out, had a podcast called Talk Scary to Me with Taylor, with Scout Compton. Of course, they work together in Rob Zombie's Halloween. Two of the most genuine women you'll ever meet, and they're always at these conventions. And I recommend anyone listen to Talk Scary to Me. And I actually didn't get a chance to talk to Danielle. One, I was busy up front doing my thing, but I did pass along some messages to her. Hopefully she got them. I wanted to say thank you for her podcast. And I tell you guys as well, check out Talk Scary to Me. By the way, that show right there is for adults only, I'm going to have to say. This is a, this episode right now that I'm recording is kind of a general, public forum right now for this episode, because there's nothing risky in this kind of, this type of show. This show right now, not out of the other ones, but for the adults in the room, definitely go listen to Talk Scary to Me by Danielle Harris and Scout Compton. It's entertaining, it's real, and it's always refreshing to hear from people like them and seeing how things are for them, just as well as everyone else. It goes to remind you that, celebrities are just people as well, different jobs, and there are just two of the most genuine people you can meet. And Danielle Harris, as you guys know, is a woman who predicted that I would meet my wife. And I'm actually waiting to see if she's going to do an episode on the fact that she is a psychic, at least one point right here, where she predicted I'd meet my wife. And sure enough, 3 months later, I would meet the woman who I'd spend the rest of my life with. So shout out to her. She did great. It looked like everyone had a great time from what I've seen. Robert Englund had lines. Corey Taylor from Slipknot had a great line. Everyone had healthy lines. The cast of Dream Warriors were there, or Dream Masters, rather. All very nice people. Heather Langenkamp, of course, the legendary, Freddie's biggest pain in the neck, I guess you'd say, his first real nightmare avoider. Heather Langenkamp, I don't know what Fountain of Youth she jumped into, but she looked amazing. She looked like she hasn't aged a day. She looks phenomenal, and she's one of the sweetest people ever. Actually, it was while I was waiting in line for her that I had said that I'm going to be doing a I decided I was going to do like a makeshift birthday card for my son, and out of one of the programs. And when I was going to have her sign it, it was in my pocket, it was a little wrinkled up. So she said, why don't you go grab a picture for your son instead? That's a much better thing. So it was very sweet of her to do that for me. And I appreciated her doing that. And, very nice human being. You would expect Nancy to be nice, even though she's been through heck with Freddie and everybody else. And, I got to talk to the guy from Monster Squad. And Monster Squad, as you guys know, was a movie I grew up with. It was my first intro to horror on my own. And it's a movie that I introduced my own kids to. And to one of the few, now, truth be told, my son's not huge into horror movies. I know everyone's like, oh, I can't believe it. But no, my son is not into the horror realm of things. He's more of a comedy guy, drama thing. Actually, to be honest with you, he likes like historical pieces and things like that. Like he was really big on Lincoln and shows like that, and movies like that. Big on basketball movies or race car movies, things like that. Lego movies, kids movies, Disney movies, those types of things. Of course, superhero movies, he's into those too. But anime, he loves anime as well. But when it comes to horror, he's not really huge on that. But Monster Squad is one of those films that he actually enjoyed. And he will still quote in... I was telling Duncan and Ashley, who were there, who was famous for playing both Dracula and Rudy, who is the leader of the Monster Squad's younger sister. I was telling the ongoing joke in the house of using the phrase that Duncan said to her when we were looking for something, and they thought that was hysterical. Like I said, it was a good time to talk to them and to meet people who have inspired me to get into the business myself. Also got to see David Morrissey from The Walking Dead. And I gotta be honest with you. I don't know how Dave pulls off half of the guests that he does. He does an amazing job at what he does. But, you know, every once in a while he'll pull out some, like, I can't wait to see if this person is going to be here. David Morrissey is famous for playing the governor on The Walking Dead. And to my knowledge, the only conventions I know he's done is the Walker Stalker conventions, which are no longer going on. And also, The Walking Dead's coming to an end, so this is a big deal. And I said, how awesome David Morrissey would be. And I was so right. You know, if you would ever have guessed that the governor would be one of the nicest people you'd meet, you'd be, you know, telling me I was a liar. But in fact, David Morrissey was a very nice, genuine human being, and he was very genuine and real. Very, I would even say a gentleman. Very cordial and very respectful, very thankful for us being there, for the work that we did. And, you know, I thank him too. He helped shape Sunday nights and gave us something to, you know, watch on Sundays and something to be excited for. So we equally shared our thanks, but very awesome human. As everyone who I encountered had no issues with any of them. They were all phenomenal, very respectful, and very grateful. Laura, look, hold on one second here. Say also, the folks from Terrifier 2, this was a big thing this year at our event because Terrifier 2 just literally came out. It might be the sleeper hit of horror films. Now, I did a review on this last week, and what I said in that review, I still stand by, and I do agree with everything I said. I think it was very... they worked with the budget that they had, and I believe I actually genuinely had feeling for the people in it, and I felt that Art the Clown may very well be the next Pennywise, if not even worse. He may be the modern-day Freddy Krueger of our generation. And, of course, you know, that creation comes from Damien, hold on one second here. Get you there. Anyway, Art the Clown is played effortlessly by David Howard Thornton. Now, to be honest, I did tell them all to their face that I did congratulate them all like I said I would. And I also said that I would, when I was at the show, I told them all to their faces that, you know, they were talking about how David Howard Thornton said that he would think Art the Clown should be in Mortal Kombat like, you know, Freddy and Jason were. And I went one step further. I said, not only do I plan on building Art the Clown for the YouTube wrestling show my son and I do, which I did, but the main event on our next show will be a mixed tag team match as David Howard Thornton's Art the Clown and the Pale Girl will take on the tag team of Lauren Lavera and Elliot, the Archangel Lauren Lavera and the little punk rocker himself, Elliot Fulham, and they play Sienna and Jonathan in Terrifier 2. So it's going to be brother and sister versus Art the Clown and the Pale Girl in our main event on December 4th. The same show, by the way, that the Hagen boys make their debut. So those are two big things you guys can look forward to right away. And, you know, they were really busy this weekend, but they were also, you could tell the appreciation from them to the fans. And it's one of those occasions, and I get this as a, you know, you are so passionate about the projects you're making and you don't know how it's going to be received. And there was a lot of, I mean, I understand the production had all kinds of issues due to, you know, the virus and everything else. And I give them credit for sticking with it and continuing on. And, you know, I could look past the fact that Jericho was in it. I could care less about that because the show, the movie wasn't about Chris Jericho. The movie was about, you know, in my opinion, was exactly what it was about. It was about Arthur Clown and the dynamic of this brother-sister team who are going to be the new leaders of the BA region. And, of course, they're going to be added to our roster as well in our 2023 season on Icons of the F4L, and we can't wait to see what they're going to bring to the table, as is Arthur Clown going to be joining as well. And Dave Leone is the name of the guy who created the whole thing, wrote it, directed it. And, you know, a lot of the times you think what this person must be like when they're thinking of these things. And ultimately he's just a fan of horror and he wanted to be outside the box. And I give him credit for that. So good for them. And I'm very happy for all of their success. And, you know, getting to talk to Elliot, who's someone who I've seen grow at Monster Mania, I've seen that multiple times. Always walking around that jean jacket with spikes on it. He's very much into rock and roll, which is the best music ever, in my opinion, as well as everything else. And he himself is going to the music business, as he has a gig coming up in New York, and I encourage people to go check that out. You know, he's a very talented young man who is very passionate about many things. He can act, he can sing, he can be a YouTuber like me. And soon he's going to be wrestling on our shows. So he's going to be a pretty big deal, man. And, you know, you all start somewhere. And Elliot is going to be going places. I can tell you that. He's just a phenomenal young man who, you know, has learned from the best of the best, you know. And he is someone who I encourage people to go check out his music and whatnot. Again, he is going to be performing in New York City on February 22nd. Is that correct? Okay. So according to this, I'm reading his thing here. February 22nd, 23, he's going to be playing in Mercury Lounge in New York City. And you know what? If it's February 22nd, I'll see him there. 23, that's next year. And you know what? That kid's going to rock that house. He's passionate about the business. He's a delight, like I said. You know, rest assured, we'll be there and then some. February 22nd. That's close to my birthday, too, and just before Monster Mania for next year. So support the little rocker and our newest signee to the Icons of the F4L. And they're going to be happening in our main event with Arthur Clown and the Pale Girl. And I guess if you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to go see Terrifier 2 to find out what I'm talking about. And because of the fact that I am keeping this show PG, I can't go into the Arthur Clown or the, you know, the Terrifier 2 in great detail, unfortunately. But I can tell you the people who made this movie happen are the most genuine and awesome people, the most respectful people, and grateful people for the fans and for the reaction. It's great to, you know, celebrate them in that fashion. Oh, let's talk about some of the vendors as well. I've talked about some of the celebrities. Now, granted, you know, I didn't get a chance to see a lot of people because, again, I was busy working and the show ran smooth and doing my part. Everyone has a job to do and everyone has to do it effectively. I honestly feel bad if I have to take a break because I play and who runs out, who does a great job, you know, putting us all in check, taking a break. But I don't want to miss anything, first of all. Second of all, I hate having to, you know, take away from someone else if they need to sit somewhere, if they need to do something. So, you know, taking breaks is not something I'm used to. But once in a while, my body tells me I need to take a break and I need to listen to it. And Jen does a great job reminding me that I'm human and celebrating the fact that I'm human by telling me to go get coffee and go eat and do this. Yes, these are things that I do forget. And I've said that on the show, that sometimes it gets dedicated and so focused on getting a job done, I'll forget to do things like eat. And yes, that's legit. coffee is something I need. I need something to get me going, and then after that, I'm good to go from there. But that's some great stuff. Now, I want to talk to you guys about some of the vendors here. I had some new friends, but I had some more friends. I talked a little bit about the venue like this versus the hotel. They didn't allow outside food and drinks. So it wasn't like we could bring in, you know, pots of coffee or a cup of coffee ourselves from wherever. We actually, they wanted us to go to the venue to buy it, which is, you know, a nominal leg. And again, that has nothing to do with us at Monster Mania. That's the venue's thing, not us. But, you know, but they had samples, Deadly Grounds did, of some of their amazing coffee. By the way, we have Deadly Grounds coffee here because I found them. And sadly, I couldn't find our usual friends at Dead Sled. Hopefully in March, we'll see everybody go grab everyone's coffee, make everyone happy and well-known. But we're going to try to bring on the folks at Deadly Grounds. They were very nice people, the people at Deadly Grounds. They, of course, worked with Father Evil on developing his brand. They're, you know, my wife actually is a big fan of Deadly Grounds. She loves their Death by Chocolate brand coffee. I currently got a bag of their Curse of the Blarney, which is like an Irish cream, which I'm Irish, so there you go. And it's amazing. My wife is very happy with it. My wife is one of the people who wanted some Deadly Grounds coffee, so I brought her that. I wanted a shirt. I did fulfill that. Got him a shirt. By the way, if you guys get to in this, you know, this little photo thing here associated with this episode, you can actually see the shirt design from the show, hopefully. It shows up in the, you know, the slideshow here associated with this episode. So that's the official shirt from Monster Mania 52 that my son, and I got my daughter one too, because she wanted one as well. So they both have one. And also wanted to say thank you to some new friends of mine, some new people I got to know and got to, talk about, and I'm hoping to bring them on the show as well. And I'm talking about our friends at, who make the series, the book series, in fact, I'm going to tell you what they are, because I'm going to read you the name of the book that they, you know, gifted my son, which is an amazing thing. What an amazing people they are. First of all, the author, his name is Richard M. Bourne. He is the author of the Bizarre Events at Hellman Elementary. And let me tell you, R.L. Stine has nothing on this guy. This guy thinks outside the box. And you know what? One step further, let me tell you a little bit something about Richard M. Bourne. I got to meet him, and along with the people who make this series popular and what make this a thing. And they're all a team, and you can see the passion in all these people. You can see the excitement on everyone in the episode, in each of the books. That he has people who are real-life people who act out, I guess, the scenarios, I suppose. And, you know, he's just, you know, what a great author he is. We're going to have him on the show to talk to you more about his backstory or whatever. I'd rather him tell you what he wants to tell you guys versus what I'm going to tell you. But he's a tremendous human being. And as a father who has kids myself, and as someone who does a lot of charity work and does a lot of work with young people and thinks that, you know, investing in the youth is a great investment for the future. And Richard gets that. And I got to say, I got a lot of respect for him and everyone on his team who makes these Hellman Elementary School books possible. There were vendors there, and it was my first time seeing everyone there and meeting everyone. Again, sometimes we get so busy in our own worlds that sometimes we miss, you know, important people in those times. I also believe that things don't happen by accident. I believe things happen very much for reasons. And it was obviously meant to be that I would get to know and meet the author and meet the team behind the bizarre The Bizarre Events at Hellman Elementary, which is like a horror book series with young kids, with featuring young people who have various issues with school, from werewolves teaching classes to all kinds of various different scary things that could happen at a random school. This author brings these stories to life, most of them inspired by stories he may hear from his own children at school and whatnot. We're going to have him on the show, maybe some other people from the team over there as well, to talk to you guys a little bit more about it at another time. But I got to tell you, it was great to meet this guy and all of the people a part of the team. It was great to see the passion each of them had and that they had each other's back. It was great to see how connected they all were and how passionate they were about the same project. And you know what? As a person who writes myself, I think that's important. I think it's important to have that unity within your camp. It's important to have that support with everyone within your group. Because without it, you really wouldn't be able to do much. And I think he does a great job by embracing a lot of that. So, kudos to him for that. And we, again, if he's listening, or any of our friends are listening, you guys all know you're all welcome on this show anytime, because this is part of the reason I have the FOL headquarters, celebrate people like yourselves. So, always welcome at the FOL headquarters, you are. That's what you are. There you go. Now, talked about some of the vendors, and I talked about some of the stars, talked about some of the events, and I did all of that. Still have an hour and 3 minutes left. Wow. I'm doing good on this show. So, first and foremost, again, I want to say thank you to everyone for the surprise I have for my son. Again, I can't tell him what it is yet because he may be listening, and I don't want to spoil the surprise, but I want to say thank you for everyone who took part in the surprise for my son's birthday. All you know who you are. And I want to say, again, thank you to Monstermania and everyone on the team for making me feel welcome and giving us this family atmosphere that we all desperately need. So thank you for that. And in case you're wondering, yes, folks, I'm getting ready to read you this poem that I wrote while down in Monstermania. And I got to tell you, probably not my best work. Again, I put it in under 30 minutes, which took me longer than usual. It is a poem. And inside, I'm looking for it, as you can hear, me rustling through everything. And believe me, I will find it. Not like, you know, McGregor or anything. I got to find this one. And again, I want to say welcome to the Hagans and to the F4L. I officially welcomed them over the weekend. Long overdue, as I mentioned before. And it's great to have them as part of the team and whatnot. Looking for the poem, as I am. That is what I'm looking for. And I will find it. As I have it organized. And I shall find it. Why am I saying it out loud? Because I have not found it yet. But it's here. I swear it is. And I have an hour, a little under, to read it. It's not a long poem, for the record, but definitely impactful and basically sums up everything that really means everything, part of this, really. And really what embraces everything that makes it the amazing work that it is. Really, you know, keeps the spirit of what the show, what the whole event's about and whatnot. And you probably think I found it already, but you'd be wrong. But you know what? Not a worry. I will find it. As I didn't bring a lot of stuff with me, so it is not far away. by any means.
You know, and a couple things also should be said about the fact that I, you know, got to know a lot of the other teammates that I got to work with. And I have to give a shout out to us. One second here. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that I, you know, don't want to embarrass people, I would specifically call out one person for being awesome. But what I am going to do is I'm going to tell you this. You never believe this, but I found it. Excuse me. All right, cool. I found it, by the way, folks. But one of the people I wanted to really acknowledge for a second. Now, he is the person who has been part of the Monster Mania staff for a long time. And he is someone who has a lot of experience, and he's a school teacher. So if you're listening, you know who you are. I took a moment to thank him for being a teacher and for taking time to show that, you know, being a teacher is more than just teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. On Friday, he had to leave early because he was going to an Eagle Scout event where one of his students had made Eagle Scouts, Eagle Scout Master. For those people who don't know, that's the highest rank that a Boy Scout can make as Eagle. And he was invited to be there and showed up exactly as you're supposed to, and showed up because he had a passion, and showed up because he actually genuinely cared and took it serious. And that, to me, speaks volumes for who he is as a man, as a teacher, as a person, that he knew that this meant the world to this young man, and he took time in his schedule. He took time away from Monster Mania. He took time away from his own schedule to show up to say, hey, you matter, your time matters, and you're just as important. Congratulations. He showed up dressed like you should, and what an amazing guy he is. So you know who you are. But I want to say again, thank you to him, because he is actually one of the people who got to see me when I was writing and actually asked me about what I was writing. And I told him I was working on a little bit of a poem thing for, you know, Monster Mania, what the event means, a little kind of a rah-rah speech, if you would, kind of like Braveheart, right? Okay. Without any further ado, for those people who ever wonder about my writing, now, to be fair, this was written on Saturday, and it was written out of the blue, and it was written in about an hour, to be fair. And this has never been read in public. I've never read it in public. I just wrote it as it came to mind. But it's kind of a touching thing, and I think it's a really cool thing, and I hope it means something to someone. And this is dedicated to all of my fellow Monster Maniacs, both staff, crew, the celebrities, the people behind the scenes like myself, the people who come to the shows and enjoy it, the fans who are passionate about Monster Mania, the people who make Monster Mania what it is, and the stars who always show up and give it to. So this is dedicated to everyone who's part of the Monster Mania family, really. So here we go. This is titled, I Am a Monster Maniac, an original poem by yours truly, Sean Jazz Stevens. We come from lands far and wide. Some walk, some drive, some fly by plane, some travel by boat, by train and boat. When others think we are insane, then at school or at work, we have to encounter those sorts of loud and obnoxious jerk. Who will laugh and snicker and tell all kinds of jokes, only to take a humorless poke? Well, that is there, this is here. And here I can be me. Here I can be free. Here I can drink beer, wine, soda, coffee, or tea. I am a monster maniac. Here we do not judge Freddy vs. Jason in vain, but we will in fact add Pennywise, Pinhead, or yes, even Tyler Mane. because here they are not insane, but yet one in the same. We laugh together when Harris teases Hodder. We cry tears of sorrow in held prayer when we say goodbye to our legends like Haig, Palmer, and Dash. I am a monster maniac. Outside these walls, we have our own jobs and our own lives. Some are loners and some have wives. Some have kids and some have dogs. Some have no one but a Candyman doll named Todd. Outside this place, that might seem odd, but not to us, not to me. This is carefree. I am a monster maniac. The three wise men to some are not all the same for us. No matter what backgrounds, what religions you may practice, the only three wise men that we hold above here are Dave, David, and Doug Hagen. True wizards of our lands of Oz, they are true men who are behind the curtain. No minds. They are the masterminds, the planners, the visionaries, the hosts, the leaders of our kingdom. We all share. We are all family here. We are one. We are monster maniacs. Young and old, fathers and daughters, sisters, uncles, wives, husbands, fans, family, no matter where we fit, we all do. This is our family reunion. We are monster maniacs. When our time comes for us to part upon our next reunion, we will go back to our lives outside where we no longer wine and dine with kings of horror and scream queens, back to school, work, and lives of other jobs. So you can laugh and jeer us all you want, but at the end of the day, I smile and I will sit in why you say, let me read that again. But at the end of the day, I smile, but why you say? Because this weekend I am reminded I am not alone. I have a family. I did matter to some. And Freddy Krueger told me so. But most of all, I smile both inside and out as I proudly say, in one loud voice, I am a monster maniac. The end. Again, that was entitled, I Am a Monster Maniac, a poem by yours truly. My first time meeting it in loud, and at 11 o'clock at night, and written in an hour. It was a poem that had some rhyming moments, and it has some non-rhyming moments. And poems do have that formula sometimes. It was a heartfelt one, and it was also meaningful. So I hope people enjoyed it. because it was my first time reading it, I'm going to read it again, and this time slowly and more profound. Here we go. I Am a Monster Maniac, an original poem by Sean Jazz Stevens. We come from lands far and wide. Some walk and some drive. Some fly by plane. Some travel by train or boat. When others think we are insane, Then at school and at work, we have to encounter that side of loud. We have to encounter those sorts of loud, obnoxious jerk who will laugh and snicker and tell all kinds of jokes only to take a humorless poke. Well, that is there and this is here. And here I can be me. Here I can be free. Here I can drink beer, wine, soda, coffee, and tea. I am a monster maniac. Here we not judge Freddy vs. Jason in vain, but in fact, we'll add Pennywise, Pinhead, and Tyler Bane. Because here they are not insane, one and the same. We laugh together when Harris teases Hodder. We cried tears with sorrow and held prayer when we said goodbye to our legends like Haig, Palmer, and Dash. I am a monster maniac. Outside these walls, we have our own jobs and have our own lives. Some are loners and some have wives. Some have kids and some have dogs. Some have no one but a Candyman doll named Todd. Outside this place, that might seem odd, but not to us, not to me. This place is carefree. I am a monster maniac. The three wise men, to some, not all, the same for us. No matter what background, what religion you be practice, the only three wise men we hold above all here are Dave, David, and Doug Hagen. The true wizards in our lands of Oz. They are the true men who are behind the curtain, the masterminds, the planners, the visionaries, the hosts. The leaders of our kingdom, we all share. We are all family here. We are one. We are monster maniacs. Young and old, fathers and sons, daughters, sisters, uncles, wives, husbands, fans, family, no matter where we fit, we all do. This is our family reunion. We are monster maniacs. When it is time for us to depart until our next reunion, as we look back on our lives outside, when we are no longer whining and dining with kings of horror and scream queens, back to school, work, lives, and other jobs, so you can laugh and jeer us all you want, but at the end of the day, I smile. But why, you say? Because this weekend I was reminded I am not alone. I have a family. I did matter to some. Freddy Krueger told me so. What did you do? But most of all, I smile both inside and out as I proudly say in one loud voice, I am a monster maniac. Again, original poem by yours truly, Sean Jazz Stevens. So that is a sample of my work written in an hour, inspired by the weekend, inspired by the people, inspired by everyone who makes Monster Mania what it is. And what it means to me and what conventions in general are and what it means ultimately is I've talked about it before with when we've had our friend Tim Collins on what Monster Mania really is. It's a place where people can enjoy things and be themselves and not be judged. One of the coolest things about a Comic-Con is it's a place where people can gather and celebrate their fandom and not be judged like they are anywhere else. But for a horror fan, it might be a little even different than that. You see, everyone can relate to Superman and Batman and Spider-Man, and these are things that are all family-friendly, but when you start talking about Freddy and Jason and the horror community, we're probably the most misunderstood and the people who are usually getting the side eye more than anyone else for any other fandom. People who will, embrace a horror movie like people embrace an action film, are judged by people and snickered at by coworkers and schoolmates and people who just don't get us. People at work, we try talking about, you know, an awesome movie, like you tell them about Nightmare on Elm Street and you laugh at the one-liners that Freddy does. And then you have the person over in the corner who laughs at you and says, oh, look at this weird guy who thinks that Freddy Krueger is funny. There's clearly something wrong with him. No, there's nothing wrong with that person. Monstermania is a place for you to be yourself and enjoy the fact that you are a horror fan above all. And what makes Monstermania feel like a family is the fact that everyone treats you like you do matter. They treat you. They're thankful that you are a fan. The celebrities are grateful that you watch their films and that you support them. Because at the end of the day, you're the one who puts the food on their table. It's true along the way, as a performer, as an actor, sometimes people can lose their way and forget at the end of the day, it's fans who will support them. It's the fans, their fandom, that will keep them relevant. Some people get that, and some people don't. And you can see it at these shows, who's there for the money and who's there for really the fans and who's there for themselves to embrace fellow horror fans and friends in the business. You know, we all have family and friends and in various other places where we talk about horror and people want to shush us or they don't understand it and they give us a long speech of why it's evil or why it's not good. And you know what? At Monstermania, there's none of that because it doesn't matter if you're a Freddy fan, a Jason fan, a Michael Myers fan. It doesn't matter if you like the old Halloween or the new Halloween. Everyone gets together and everyone celebrates the fandom of horror without being judged, without being feeling like you're an outsider. We don't get the side eye for liking horror. We don't get the side eye for liking a Freddy, a Jason, a Chucky like you would anywhere else. When you're a young kid growing up and you like horror movies and you want to be silenced because you like a thing like a Freddy the Krueger or you think, you know, Chucky's cool. You know what? Yeah, some movies are not, you know, age appropriate, but you know what? Embrace your horror fandom. Don't change who you are because when you come to Monstermania, you are one of us. You are a horror fan. You're a pop culture fan. You're one of us. You're not going to be judged. This is your home like it is anywhere else. Celebrities are there because they have found their voice in horror. They've embraced who they are. And they are, for the most part, grateful for everything that they've done. Most of them are fans themselves of horror. When the biggest thing I took away from the Terrifier 2 panel was everyone who was on that panel loved horror as a fan and embraced it. Listening to Lauren talk about what it's like to be the final girl who fights back and how important for her that was. I get that. And I say the same thing. Amen. Amen for having a final girl who says enough of this and let's fight. Terrifier 2 went places where not a lot of places went. Horror movies in general like to push the envelope and like to give fans what they want. For the most part, when you go to a horror movie, you kind of have an idea of what you're in for. And at a horror convention is one and the same. You know what you're in for. You're going to see horror celebrities. You're going to see people who are fans dressed as their favorite horror icons. And in that environment, it's a home. It's a place where you're familiar. It's a place where you don't have to pretend to like Captain America. You don't have to pretend that you don't like horror. It's embraced. You can be you. And it doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, bi, man, woman, child, young, old, black, white. Doesn't matter. Because in that environment, everyone is the same. Everyone is one fandom. And it doesn't matter if you like sci-fi or horror sci-fi or whatever, because you matter. At the end of the day, no matter what you do, no matter what your fandom is, embrace that inner fandom. It's okay. There's nothing abnormal about you. Monster Mania does. It allows you. It gives you a place to be you. It gives you the place for the person you are to just embrace who you are and feel comfortable around fellow horror fans, horror celebrities who are there for the same reason. When I look at the merchants, the vendors, as they call them there, who sell the merchandise, they are also horror fans. They are also people who embrace the horror community. And they are grateful for the business that they get at these events. It's the fans at these shows that keep a lot of these people going. Brutalities, who come up with the amazing tea. By the way, I'm drinking their Snakes on the Plane right now, as I'm drinking this right now. And Snakes on the Plane, by the way, is one of their latest creations of Brutalities. And this is the one that they said they were going to hold for me, and they did. And it's amazing. It's an amazing flavor. It's sweet. It tastes like a birthday cake, if you want to know the truth. It might not be for everybody. I don't even have my honey in this like I normally do. This is amazing tea. And yesterday and this morning, we had the Curse of the Blarney from Deadly Grounds as well. In March, I'm going to go see all of these people all over again, and I'm hopefully going to find Dead Sled and, you know, everyone else. And I'm just going to embrace all of this coffee and give all of these people my business because they all are deserving of it. And, you know, our author friend Richard B. Bourne, what an amazing guy. And he's a great human being, and I can't wait to get him on here and maybe some of the people he works with as well. He works with future actors and stuff like that, some of the talented young actors out there or actors in general. You know what? I get that. I'm known for seeing talent and embracing those talent and also watching them grow after the fact, and I'm proud of every one of them. And the come away from this weekend that I have, it took a lot of people, you know, talk about where they're from. A lot of people are from the area of Philadelphia and New Jersey, but you have people like me who comes from the comes up from Boston and Rhode Island area, which is New England for most people. And then you have Jen who puts everyone, who keeps the staff in check and helps us, you know, maintain all of the nonsense. And she comes up from Florida. And people come from all over the place to be part of Monster Mania because this is our home. This is our house, no matter what house we're in, whether it's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Hunt Valley, Maryland, or now Oak, Pennsylvania. Monster Mania is home for all of us. It is our family reunion. And I'm happy to say that I'm going to be returning next year as part of the staff to see more people enjoy the fandom that is horror, embrace Monster Mania and the people within it. I consider everyone who is part of the Monster Mania staff and crew behind the scenes as part of my extended family. And I am grateful to have encountered so many amazing people who probably don't know how amazing they are and versatile they are. You're talking about people who, for the most part, don't get paid to do what they do, but they give up their time and their energy just to be part of this. Can you imagine? But they do, and we do with a smile on our face, and we show up in droves to be part of it because we want to help succeed this. We want this place to succeed. We want this to grow. We want to make sure people have a good time and are having a safe time doing it. At one point, we were asked why on Sunday we were funneling people in here and there. It's a very simple matter of safety. We didn't want people running through and trampling people to get to places they needed to be. We wanted safety, because safety is the number one thing at any event. Safety and having an epic fun time, that is what every event wants, and that's what every event should have. So it's going to be an amazing time, and over the next couple months leading up, I'm hoping to have some of these amazing people to join me on the FRL headquarters to tell their own stories on what these things have. And also, the FRL headquarters is something that is not going away anytime soon. And despite how many people may not appreciate what I do, or no matter how many people want to take a break and aren't seen, everyone's just as important as they always are. And I still stand by the people I believe in. Despite how they may feel about me, I am so grateful and I still respect the heck out of all of the people who I have featured, who I have shouted out on this show. And I'm proud of people like JoJo the Bodybuilder, who went to Las Vegas and owned that stage. I got to tell you, I saw the routine he did, and you know what? Just like he does on a wrestling show, he came, he saw, he conquered. JoJo's an amazing young man who's got a long future ahead of him. Philip Ricardo Jr., if that was his swan song, he went out with a bang. Win, lose, or draw. Everyone who was at that show had to elevate themselves to get to his level, and that's something he should be proud of. We are proud of Philip Ricardo Jr. for the work that he has put in. And in fact, it is because of him that JoJo the Bodybuilder was able to get to where he is. But also JoJo himself put in work himself. We can't undersell his own work. But Phil gave him the blueprints, and JoJo ran with it. That's the unity they have. And we will continue to support these people because they deserve it. And even if Philip is done owning the stage, he's still going to be on our shows, and JoJo is still going to be owning the stages, and this is only the beginning for both of them. Because I can tell Phil on this end that even when we stop doing whatever we're originally passionate of, like me for pro wrestling and you for bodybuilding, our work is never done. There's always something for us to do. Phil is a great leader and a great mentor. That is proof. The proof is JoJo the Bodybuilder. So congratulations again to JoJo. We're proud of him. We're proud of Phil Ricardo Jr. Draw, you are the man. And there's an old saying by a good wrestling friend of mine: to be the man, you must beat the man. And Phil Ricardo Jr. will always be the man. And while I'm shouting people out and whatnot, I got to quickly acknowledge some other people who, you know, have been monumental and people who have been just fantastic human beings and people who have continued to evolve in time and in their own way. Grayson the Super Duck Russell, one of the best wrestling shooters I've seen in a long time. He has been injured for a little while, folks. He wasn't feeling 100%. He's been dealing with an injury, and you know what? He's doing things smart. He's taking it easy, and he's still wanting to get in there. I can tell the passion in his voice. You can see it in his bones. He's anchoring to get back there. Mark my words, the Super Duck will fly, and the Super Duck will succeed because that's what he does. And his mother, Angela Russell, she is just as tough, just as strong, and she was going to succeed as well. Both will be returning in our 2023 season as well, as will JoJo and Philip Ricardo Jr., as will Jack and Tim, the lucky ones, who remain on our show. And you know what? Again, when those things come in, I'll gladly post them. And thank you guys for your hospitality and your gratitude for that and your, you know, gifts and so forth. But all honesty, just the fact that I am associated with you guys and that you guys are appreciative of what I do and are vocal about it, that's honestly the only thing that matters to me, is the fact that, number one, you're still succeeding. Number two, you know, that respect level is mutual, and that means more. The Adele Boys will also be returning to Icons of the F4L in 2023, and they're going to be a handful. There is four of them. We have currently four shows. They are the current BA Tag Team Champions, and who knows, might have another one wrapped around sooner or later on Icons of the F4L. And again, for those people who may not have heard it at the beginning of the show, we have signed two new signees ready to make their debuts, as we're going to have Doug, who will be Big Baby Jeebus, and David Hagen Jr. making their in-ring debuts on December 4th. As far as who they're going to face, that is up in the air. But I can tell you this, as always, we have no control over the outcomes of any match. So whomever they face could be even each other. We're not going to know who's going to face who, but it's going to be epic regardless. And it's going to take place at our Monster Mania show in December on December 4th. At the end of, you know, the very first show of December, that's where they make their debut. And in the main event, as I already announced, and I told them all to their face, you know, David Howard Thornton said they wanted to be in the game. And I said, you know what? Funny you mentioned that, because we are building you right now. And in the main event, we'll feature the Clown and the Pale Girl taking on Elliot Fulham and his sister from the movie, the Archangel, Lauren LaVale. It's going to be iconic, and it's going to be an encounter like no other. So, again, in the main event of our match, our show on December 4th, we'll feature the Pale Girl and her tag team partner, Art the Clown, the newest horror icons, taking on the team of horror slayers, the little punk rocker, Elliot Fulham, and the Archangel, Lauren LaVera. Think they were badass in the movie, they're going to be even tougher in the show. And a great addition, I might add, as well. So that's going to be our main event, and Dave and Doug will be making their debuts on the same show. So stick around for those. And also, I want to make a quick announcement. I have thought about it long and hard. I've gone back and forth, and I have decided I might be doing something I didn't think I was ever going to do again. I am going to be returning to Facebook, folks. I know. I can't believe it either. But apparently, I'm still... apparently on Facebook, people haven't forgotten who I am or what I'm about. People I went to school with, people I've worked with over the years, and people who have mutual respect with me, fellow Monster Maniacs, fellow filmmakers, everyone is still there. I'm humbled by this. I'm moved by this. And so I will be returning to Facebook shortly myself. So Facebook, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube will be my home. I did leave TikTok, because I didn't have time for that, and I don't understand it. But guess what we do have from TikTok? We have the bad lad and the bad dad, Derek and Connor. They are still on our roster, and they're going to remain on our roster, and I'm hoping to bring them on this podcast to talk to us about being TikTok famous and tell us a little bit about how they like being on our show. So hopefully Derek and Connor like that. I know they're horror fans. Who knows? Maybe we'll get them at Monster Mania. I can tell you this, that Jack and Tim, the lucky ones, are entitled to a rematch for the BA Tag Team titles And that being said, since they do have a tag team title rematch on, you know, December 4th might be that day. So the Batticles might have to watch out because the lucky ones are coming. And it's going to be a father-son versus father and son, 2-on-2. So should be iconic. December 4th, perhaps. And also, I have to announce this one last thing about our show in December. For those people who don't know, I am Sean Jazz Stevens. But there are three parts to who makes Sean Jazz Stevens. There's me, myself and I, who is just me. There's the Jazz Vengeance side of me, who is the was my original wrestling character, who was the voice of the people. He was the good guy, and he was the leader of the F4L in the short story series that I wrote. But he's also, you know, Jazz Vengeance. He's the voice of the people, and he's the good guy. But everyone also knows the heel part of me as well, the loudmouth, obnoxious, and self-entitled, arrogant, and conceited individual that is known as Jazz Fitness, the YouTube sensation, I should say, Jazz Fitness, the one with the bulging biceps, the perfect pecs, and the washboard abs. That's Jazz Fitness, who ultimately, for some reason, has more of a following and more of a fandom than Jazz Vengeance does. I don't understand it myself, but that's a thing. But I've decided that going forward, it gets confusing when you have one, two, or three of the same person on your roster. And I want to have a show that is realistic, as realistic as possible. Granted, when you have people like the Pizza Hut, or Pizza the Hut, and you have people like Ernie the Chicken, we do stretch that realm of realism versus, you know, fact versus fiction type of thing. But in hindsight, it's too ridiculous to have myself and then Jazz Vengeance and Jazz Fitness all in the same show or in the same universe. Because what happens is sometimes we have tournaments, for example, or we'll have a melee in Jazz Vengeance or Jazz Fitness or Sean Jazz Stevens will end up. And then it looks like, you know, I have, you know, three chances to win. And I don't want that anymore. And I don't think it's relevant. So the last show of the year in December will have one final match. It will be a three-way Iron Man match. Yes, you heard that right. A three-way Iron Man match. That is where pinfalls, submissions, knockouts, whatever, whoever gets the most within the time frame will be the only person to return in our 2023 season. That's a pretty big deal because only one version of me we're going to get. Is it going to be the good guy, the bad guy, or just me? That is going to be seen. But, of course, the one thing is for certain, Sean Awesome will be returning as a leader of the Awesome Ones. Also, just an update, we will be announcing, my son and I together on this show and on YouTube, we'll be announcing the official class of 2023's Jazz and Sons Hall of Fame, where we honor the Dream Masters and the Dream Warriors who helped get our show off the map on YouTube. In the past, we've inducted the Horror Connection, Tyler Main, Kane Hodder, and Robert Englund, the Horror Connection. The Golden Girls last year was the first faction and the females to be inducted, as well as last year, Brendan Braun, that's the Hulk and the Thing, were inducted in the Hall of Fame. Our first year, we had Peter Griffin, Homer Simpson, Bruce Lee inducted all in the same class, as well as Supergirl and Christina Ricci, all in the first class. Going forward, we decided we're only going to induct four different groups or four different categories. That is a Dream Master, a Dream Warrior, and then a tag team and a faction. So one of each of those will be represented in this year's class. So we already announced the Dream Warrior who's going in. That is St. Peggy Hannon. She's being inducted for the women as well as the tag team, which is going to be the legendary Fire and Ice, which is Scorpion and Sub-Zero for those people who don't know, who lived under a rock. So the tag team and the Dream Warrior has been announced so far. Now it's yet to find out who is going to be the Dream Master. And I'll tell you, there is some pretty great nominees. One of them being Chuck Norris, who Bruce Lee was inducted last year. Actually, our first class was Bruce Lee. And last year, Daryl Dixon, Norman Reedus was inducted. Will Chuck Norris be his year this year, or will it be someone else? Chuck Norris is up there, is available, as well as Jackie Chan, Jason Statham, Billy Gilman, and Marilyn Manson are all up there for the Dream Masters. Oh, also, the Juggernaut is also up involved in there. As far as factions go, could be any faction. It could be a female, a Dream Warriors faction, or a Dream Masters faction. We don't know yet. Nominees range from the X-Men, the Justice League of America, all the way to the Click, which is Billy Gilman, Haley Joel Osment, and the Wonder Twins, Cole and Dylan Sprouse. So we'll have to wait and find out who, or it could even be Brock Brown. There's another person who's also his name has been thrown around. So Brock Brown and the Social Outcast may be inducted as well. You never know. Probably the only Hall of Fame where Brock Brown, the Noid, Little Sweet, and Toxie, the Toxie Avenger, would ever be, as well as Doink the Clown, their new leader. So that would be interesting. But those announcements won't happen until later. We already know the Dream Warrior, which is St. Peggy Hannon, and the tag team, which is the Fire and Ice, which is Scorpion and Sub-Zero, a longtime tag team on our show, very monumental to the early stages of our show. But who will be joining them this year? That is yet to be set or been decided. So that is kind of it's coming up. And again, I invite anyone to be part of the show. If you are interested in joining the show here and being a guest on here on the FOL Headquarters podcast, you're welcome to reach me at dreammatches@gmail.com. You can reach me, of course, on Instagram, as always. And, of course, that is F4L Icon, SEANJAZZSTEVENS 1 on Instagram. And because I have to look, because it's been so long since I've been on Facebook, if you're looking to find me on Facebook, I, returning to Facebook, will be Sean Stevens, and of course, that is also Sean Jazz Stevens, or the FRL icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, all of me. So Sean, SEANSTEVENS, SEANJAZZSTEVENS, on Instagram, on Facebook. And again, I already told you on Instagram, it's F4L Icon, SEANJAZZSTEVENS, at Gmail. I'm sorry, on Instagram. And, of course, I couldn't say anything without our icons of the F4L, which is on YouTube, which our hit YouTube show is featured, is Jazz and his icons of the F4L. That's J-A-Z-Z and the parentheses and the little hyphenated thing there, and his icons of the F4L, that is on Instagram. I'm sorry, that is on YouTube, and we have just uploaded the 14th edition, yesterday's edition of our Team Warfare Tournament, which is our women for the most part. Also, the British invasion took on the King's Court also as another Team Warfare match. And yes, the British invasion won, go figure. And also the women were also featured. Go check out Icon Jazz and his icons of the F4L for our YouTube wrestling show and see some of these amazing actors, some of these amazing performers who are all real-life Dream Masters and Dream Warriors. Remember, that's what we call our women wrestlers. And we're going to answer the question, Duchess Lana King had her team involved in this tournament. How did she do? Is the Duchess Lana King undefeated in this team warfare match tournament? We'll have to wait. You have to go to the show to check it out and find out. So, folks, I am the F-World icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, saying thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being part of the show. Thank you very much for being F-World. Remember, what the F-World is a way of being, is a lay of life that only – it does take a lot to live the F-World way. And a lot of the times people will laugh at you and will treat you differently. But remember, when you're F4L, you live life every day with love, care, and compassion, understanding, respect for each other's differences. That doesn't mean we all have to agree on the same things. Some people might like horror. Some people like comedy. When you're F4L, you respect each other for your differences. You love each other. You care about each other. You respect each other, and you understand. What being F4L means is when any time, day or night, you need someone to talk to, you need someone to listen, you need something, you have someone you can rely to. And in fact, you have people around the world who care, around the world who are your brothers and your sisters who are F4L, who will be willing to lend their ear, their support, to listen to your issue, to help you through those tough times, to pick you up when you're down. As real friends don't kick you when you're down, they help you up. And that is what being an F4L ultimately is. The F4L headquarters is a fictional place that was based on a real-life scenario. When we were first putting together what the F4L was, when we were building the early stages of the F4L, we had always dreamed that we were going to get all of our F4L, our family, in one house. And that was going to be our place to live, and we're going to call that place the F-World Headquarters. It was going to be a place where we could go to be ourselves, to live our lives the F-World way, and where we could be, you know, cared about. We can have a good time. And that is why that is the name of this podcast, because we are all about love, care, and compassion, understanding, respecting each other's differences. And whether it be music, whether it be sports, whether it be combat sports, whether it be bodybuilding, wrestling, MMA, UFC, WWE, AEW, Marvel, DC, Freddy, Jason, Mike Myers, Halloween, Terrifier 2, Toxic Avenger, Trauma, Warner Brothers, we embrace everyone. We respect everyone for all of their differences. When I do film reviews, I don't do it in vain. I do it to help others. I do it to help encourage others to make their product better. I give constructive criticism. I always give brutal honesty because I believe that is the way it should be. I give 100% of everything I do. I have a lot of projects on the way, and I'm going to also say this. From what I am understanding, apparently there is a thing going on in Hollywood where people are hiring people who are not blonde. I don't know who out there is listening right now and who can speak to this. I am told by some people that, you know, Hollywood or whatever are not hiring people based on blonde hair. Is this really a thing? Because I have never heard of someone being casted based on their hair color. I cast people for talent. I look for talent. And if someone, and hair color is the very last thing I look at when it comes to talent. And when it comes to talent, I don't just mean, you know, what they're auditioning for. I look for that little something different that separates someone from someone else. The person who is willing to sing, can dance, can draw, can do something and bring something different to the table. Someone who is a joy to be around on the set. That is who I hire. That is who gets parts. And oftentimes, if someone takes time to audition for something I wrote or I worked on, I will cast the person based upon their talent. And I will add a scene if need be to reward them for taking time to be part of my project. Because that is a respectful thing to do. And because sometimes people can't see talent like that. But I got to say that anyone in Hollywood who is basing their judgments on hair color first versus talent, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Because there's some talented people who are blonde, and just like there are talented people who are brunette or dark hair, red hair, whatever. You should never look at hair color as a deciding factor to hiring someone for a project. That's for casting. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. So I hope that I am hearing that wrong. And anyone in Hollywood who is listening to this right now, I strongly suggest you rethink of your hiring process if having blonde hair will discredit someone for a job that they would clearly have if they didn't have blonde hair versus dark hair or whatever. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Do not do that. Hire people based on their work ethic, on their position, how they read, and how they audition, not what color hair they have or skin color, because all those, or even gender. You can make do with some things, for that matter. Unless the project is specifically written for that specific role, for a specific thing. Otherwise, hair color should be the last thing you should look at when auditioning. And that is a little added bonus to something that I have heard and I have to speak upon, because that is completely ridiculous that that would be a deciding factor to hiring people. Can I just tell you this? When it comes time for me to hire and do casting for my projects, so let me tell you, I have several projects. I have both a screenplay. I have a screenplay for the anthology series I'm working on that is already done. All I have to do is submit all of it to the person in charge, and it's set to go. That'll probably be starting to cast probably the beginning of the year, maybe. And then I have, you know, the stage play, which is take a little longer because I got to find a place to put this play on. But let me tell you, based upon the amazing talents I have on social media, I don't have to look far, because a lot of the times I will write a part for someone with someone in mind already. I'm hoping before the end of the year to have a big, large, one of these shows and have a large watch along with some of our friends from the Icons calling in, because I think that would be a great swan song to reward all those people. Some of those people I mentioned are people who I believe in heavily, who should be taken seriously and who are going to accomplish things. I have to tell you, there's a lot of people who I haven't maybe mentioned enough who deserve some praise as well. I've talked about the Yevgeny Berkovitz from Russia, the soccer prodigy and the MMA fighter, young man, not even 10 years old yet, and has already earned respect for his work ethic and his dedication and his respect level, as well as Ivan the Dolphin Shark, who, by the way, just placed third in an event over in Russia doing a swim meet. Congratulations to Ivan, by the way. Granted, I guarantee you probably can't understand this one, but I congratulate him because that's a hard thing to do. Swimming, I was on a swim team, so I can talk to you how tough it is as far as conditioning-wise and so forth. And I played football, a.k.a. soccer, in high school for 4 years, so I can relate to that. I also want to say this, too. I heard someone today refer to themselves as not an athlete who was doing ballet. And I know this is going, I know a lot of sports people are groaning right now because they're like, oh, ballet and sports are not the same. They're not an athlete. And I'm going to tell you why I think doing ballet is probably just as athletic as being in sports. I'm going to tell you like this. One, in order to do ballet, you have to be absolutely in shape. It takes dedication. It takes work ethic. It takes a lot of stretching, a lot of exercise, a lot of grinding in order to pull off half of the dance moves. It takes great conditioning, toning, breathing. These are all athletic gifting things. These are things you need in sports. You need to have great flexibility. You have to have awesome endurance. These are sports qualities. These are things that ballet people who do ballet are into. And the ongoing debate with cheerleading is a sport just as much as anything else. because the ultimate thing that can that really brings it all together is injuries that are sustained in all of these elements. Injuries happen in sports. Injuries happen in cheerleading. Injuries happen in ballet from great extensive athletic things that happen. Damage to the legs, damage to the arms, broken this, broken that. If you're doing something in some type of physical capacity that involves you getting injured, that is as close to an athletic competition as anything else, in my opinion. So if you're doing ballet, I have all the respect in the world for you, and I don't see why you're not considered an athlete. It's a different type of sport. That just goes to show that everyone's different. Maybe it's not everyone's cup of tea, but you're still an athlete. Also, I want to say I just got done reading Tom Daly, Olympic diver from the British Olympic diver's book, which is called Tom Daly's book is called Coming Up for Air, and I'm almost done with it, and it's a great read. I highly recommend someone pick it up. I'm going to give you a full review on it on a different show, and I'm also going to have a review on some other things. And again, thank you to Richard Bourne for the gift to my son, and when he reads it, I'll let you know what he says, as he does like to read, and we'll have his review on your book as well. And to everyone out there, again, you know how to reach me. I've already given it a couple times. Again, you want to be a guest on the show, you want to reach out to me, you can reach me at WOWDreamMatches, DREAMMATCHES, @gmail.com. On YouTube, at Jazz and His Icons of the F4L. On Instagram, at F4L Icon, SEANJAZZSTEVENS. One on Instagram, and of course, Sean, SEAN Stevens, SDEVENS on Facebook. Just look for this guy, and you'll find me there. I want to say thank you to everyone for joining me. Thank you again to everyone at Monster Mania for making this weekend an amazing weekend. Everyone was safe. There were no major issues. I thought it ran rather smoothly outside of the lining up process and the people who were complaining about having too much to do and having more room to spend things and whatnot. I wanted to say to those people, listen, if you're going to go to a show and just be toxic, stay home. That's what I'm going to say to those people. If you're going to go to a show just to spread your negativity, do it from home or under the bridge where all the rest of the trolls live. And to everyone else in the world who made Monster Mania an amazing event, an amazing year, congratulations to everyone. Glad to have you, everyone. And we'll be back with the F4L headquarters later on this week for more shows. May all your dreams come true, everyone. Peace from the F4L headquarters.